The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
You know, Patagonia was almost named Roland after Roland Rice Richardson, the father of Patagonia. When they applied for a P.O. box in 88, he wanted to give the town his name, but locals protested and wanted it named after the local mountains, Patagonia. What does Patagonia mean? The word is Spanish, and it's in reference to a large, clumsy foot that Magellan thought the area was inhabited by these giant people based on tracks they had seen.
Okay.
You hear those little sweet voices in the background? Arizona Wildflowers. We had them on a couple. Was it last year they came on with us?
You know what? The Hootenanny sale was 18 months ago. Can you believe that?
I have no sense of time since last year. But they are so sweet. Family. And there's four girls that play together. And they're from 18 down to 8. And they're award-winning bluegrass band. And they're going to be playing around the state. We'll put that on our event page. They're going to be in Casa Grande November 3rd, November 7th. They'll be in Sun City West, Wickenburg November 9th. So you can, wherever you live, you can get to hear them play. They're precious, precious family.
And I understand they're going to be at the Bluegrass Festival in Wickenburg. It's been a few years since I've mm-hmm. made that. But Amanda and I always used to go because that was kind of one of our first dates was to the Bluegrass Festival in Wickenburg.
I read that wrong. It doesn't have the date, actually. It's just in November. And then in December, they'll be in the Fiesta Grand Community Church.
We'll be in Wickenburg in November celebrating Henry Wickenburg's 200th birthday. That'll be fun. They got a whole weekend of activity that weekend. I wonder if they're going to be up there for that.
I hope so. We're going to broadcast up there as well.
Here this morning, Rosie on the House, here with Roger Naylor, author of a book we're highlighting today featuring the Arizona State Parks. Now, Roger, you write about 29 state parks. There's 35. A few aren't open yet. They're still under redevelopment.
35 properties, 32 that are open.
Okay.
The parks and the natural areas.
All right. So I'm going to ask you what people always ask me. You've been to every one of them. You break the book up into three zones of the state. You do a great job cataloging the distance each park is from each major metropolitan area and listing the amenities at each one and photos and a story about each one. But which one's your favorite? And we talked about Dead Horse.
Yeah, Dead Horse is always my
favorite.
Because that's
in your backyard.
Sure. That's,
but
that's
other than that.
Given. Well, and I don't know that I can narrow it down to one, so I have a top five list, and I'll give you those.
Okay.
And that's Picacho Peak. Because some of my best wildflower days are spent on the slopes of Picacho Peaks. Great history story. It's the westernmost battle of the Civil War was fought there too. But I go, they've got a really interesting trail with a lot of signage about that if you're interested in that aspect of the history. But I go over and over and over in March for the wildflowers. They had a beautiful display this year. So, yeah.
Jennifer loves
nice hiking.
Jennifer loves the trail to the top.
I had to sit down, and then I watched all these people older than myself continuing up. So it took me about 30 minutes to get up the courage. There's just one area there where you're just like right on the edge, and you, oh my gosh,
Before the chain link section.
Yeah, it is a very tough trail if you want to go to the top. I did it as a kid, and I have not felt the need to go back again. But
I'm going to join you in that. I don't feel the need to go back.
When I want that view, Jennifer says, well, let's just go get a room on the top floor of the Francisco Grande.
Nice. So Catalina on the northern side of Tucson there. Again, it's just that perfect combination of classic Sonoran desert stretched along the base of the Santa Catalina Mountains. So you're hiking in desert and looking up and gazing up at Mount Lemmon and the beautiful Catalinas. They're also a really great wildflower park. And you have the bonus of possibly seeing desert bighorn sheep because they've got a population that they're getting started there and they've been showing up in the park on a pretty regular basis. So my non-hiking park is Yuma Territorial Prison. That's my favorite historical park. I love that. I like any prison that I'm not in.
Do you ever think of
it? It kind of validates my life choices.
Do we have a list of prisons you have been in? Is that to say?
Well, that's another show, I think. But there's just such great stories there. And this what a wonderful time of year to go, because this was just voted the most haunted place in America last month by USA Today Readers.
The prison it was?
Yes, Yuma Territorial Prison. 111 prisoners died there, 104 still buried in the graveyard just outside the walls there. Probably not the eternal view they were hoping for. But,
I just want to know where the other seven are.
Well, maybe they got shipped somewhere. But you can still tour the cell blocks and the
It's overwhelming
snake
to think about being locked in
stuff.
Those.
Yeah, it's really eerie and spooky. Mm. And, you know, I love Yuma anyway, and it's just always fun to be down there. So there's that one, and Cattail Cove on the West Coast. That's just become one of my favorite parts of Arizona to travel up and down the coast. You've got like four beautiful parks between Parker and Lake Havasu that are perched there, and it's just this wonderful combination. When desert meets water, wonderful things happen. So you have white sandy beaches, you have harsh desert hiking trails with a backdrop of gorgeous water views, panoramas, and that's really hard. It's hard to imagine that you haven't left Arizona yet.
While we're in that corner, that West Coast strip of Arizona, I don't have Boots and Burgers designated to memory, so I don't know if this one was in there, but have you ever found yourself at the Desert Bar in Neely East Saloon and Parker?
I've written about the Desert Bar many times, and that's one of the all-time classic places. But no, it's not in Boots and Burgers, just because it's only open seasonally.
Why I brought it up, because it opened last weekend.
Right?
It is now reopened. I mean, this is a destination bar.
Yeah.
No credit cards, no Wi-Fi. You bring cash. Out in the middle of nowhere. It's an
8-mile.
Is it five?
Yeah, I think it's just five miles down a dirt. But it's a bumpy dirt road. It's an old mining site. It's spread across the hills. It's sort of this kind of historic post-op apocalyptic looking place that you think, what the heck am I getting into? But it's just so much fun. It's just live music all day long. They got burgers sizzling on the grill, cold beer flowing. You just sit around listening to bands play and eating burgers and drinking beer out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, man.
What's the name of it again?
Desertbar.com is where you can find information about it. And it was started in the early 80s, and the pictures of it from its first, I mean, it was like a little 10 by 10 wood box that was set up, and so somehow today it's a happening place.
It is, and I kind of take partial responsibility for that, because I've been writing about it for a lot of years, and so a lot of people have gone out there because of me, and now it's gotten really popular, but I'm happy for it.
It's a
place that I want to see survive and thrive. You know, those are the kind of quirky places that are just so much fun. You know, you discover a place like that, that's a memory that lasts a lifetime.
Well, if you miss Greasewood Flats, this is the bar to go to, right?
Okay, all right.
There you go.
That's well said. Yes.
I don't know if you could write this kind of book, Rosie, because, I mean, he's invited thousands of people now to go to his favorite place.
Right?
Rosie likes to keep those places, like, you know, a little protected.
I know. Well, and believe me, I hear about that from people that, oh, how dare you write about, you know, this restaurant. Now it'll be, you know, people will go there. Or how dare you write about this trail? You know, it's open to the public, but now people will use it. And, well, that's what a travel writer does.
The Hirsch family, we're good friends of ours. Bob Hirsch, the outdoor writer.
Right.
And his wife used to hate to go out in public because Mary would always get the wrath of everybody. Well, Bob wrote in the paper about my favorite fishing hole. He told everybody exactly where to go and what bait to use and when to go. And she always had to take the wrath of everybody.
Yeah.
But of state parks, I have to tell you, I do have a favorite.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't know what it is about Southern Arizona, but I have a deep, deep infatuation with the Spanish early history of Southern Arizona.
Then I know where you're going.
Tubac.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great park.
Yeah. I mean, it dates back. It's the oldest European settlement in Arizona.
Right.
And you get to look through a glass display at the very foundations that they built when they came through.
Yeah, they built that Presidio to preserve that mission just down the road there. And they've got an incredible collection of museum pieces, artifacts in there that you tour through that covers just all these different eras. It's an astonishing history, you know, and it's one that a lot of people kind of overlook because, you know, you're there at Tubac and it's an artsy village and you're walking around at all the galleries and stuff, and the park is right there on the edge of town, and you don't want to miss it. Go and see.